Is the Bangla Siskan Kamaracharya A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Kodi Vaishnava Vindaki Namchari Shnadirash Thakur Ki Ramsugaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinash Namakun Radhakun Girigogadam Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Shri Mathura Dham Ki Nabadi Mayapur Dham Ki Ganga Jamuna Maya Ki Bhakti Devi ki tasni maharane ki is the Vangesh Iskan founded Acharya, Shri Prabhupada ki. Gantarashimad Bhagavatam ki, O Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Guru and Gauranga. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 9, entitled The Supreme Character of Jagbharat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It's so long, it's impossible, actually. We'll just do the word for word. Sri Sukhavacha. Sukadeva Goswami continued to speak. Ata, thereafter, kaschid, of some, dvijavarasya, brahmana, angirapavasya, who came in the dynasty of the great saint Angira, shana, control of the mind, dana, control of the senses. Tapa, practice of austerities and penance. Svadhyaya, recitation of Vedic literature. Adhyayana, study. Tyaga, renunciation. Santosha, satisfaction. Titiksha, tolerance. Prashraya, very gentle. Vidya, knowledge. Anusuya, without envy. Atmagina ananda, satisfied in self-realization. Yuktasya, qualified. Atma sadrisha, exactly like himself. Shruta, education. Shila, character. Achara, behavior. Rupa, beauty. Odarya, magnanimity. We're only halfway through the shloka. Guna, possessing all qualities. Navasa Udaya, nine brothers. Angaja, sons. Bahuvu, born. Mitunam, twin brother and sister. Cha, and. Yaviyasyam, in the youngest. Bharayam, wife. Ya, who? To, but. Tatra, there. Puman, male child. Tang, him. Parama Bhagavatam, the most exalted devotee. Rajarishi, saintly kings. Pravaram, most honored. Bharatam, Bharat Maharaj. Utshrishta, having given up. Mrigashariram, the body of a deer. Charana Sharirana, with the last body. Vipratam, being a Brahmana. Gatang obtained. Ahu, they said. Are there any questions? Translation. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear king, after giving up the body of a deer, Bharat Maharaj took birth in a very pure Brahmin family. There was a Brahmana who belonged to the dynasty of Angira. He was fully qualified with brahminical qualifications. He could control his mind and senses, and he had studied the Vedic literatures and other subsidiary literatures. He was expert in giving charity, and he was always satisfied, tolerant, very gentle, learned, and non-envious. He was self-realized and engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. He remained always in a trance. He had 9 equally qualified sons by his first wife, and by his second wife he begot twins, a brother and a sister, of which the male child was said to be the topmost devotee and foremost of saintly kings, Bharat Maharaj. This, then, is the story of the birth he took after giving up the body of a deer." Purport. Bharat Maharaj was a great devotee, but he did not attain success in one life. In Bhagavad Gita it is said that a devotee who does not fulfill his devotional duties in one life is given the chance to be born in a fully qualified Brahmin family or a rich Kshatriya or Vaishya family. Suchinam Shrimatam Gehe. Bharat Maharaj was the firstborn son of Maharaj Rishab in a rich Kshatriya family. But due to his willful negligence of his spiritual duties and his excessive attachment to an insignificant deer, he was obliged to take birth as the son of a deer. However, due to his strong position as a devotee, he was gifted with the remembrance of his past life. Being repentant, he remained in a solitary forest and always thought of Krishna. Then he was given the chance to take birth in a very good Brahmin family. Oma Gyantimanandasya Ginangina Shilakaya Chakshurimitam Jainatasmai Sigudavena Maha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Tadantishva Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Om Him Shrom Om Farom Tataka Hataka Keshika Jalat Patakalochana Bhadharaka Nakash Varsadva Singha Namostate. So the life of Maharaj Bharat, King Bharat, is actually very instructive for all aspiring devotees. We are aspiring. One time, a devotee glorified Śrīla Prabhupāda. "Śrīla Prabhupāda, you are the greatest of Vaishnavas." And Prabhupāda said, "Vaishnava," he said, "that is the most exalted position. It is the most exalted thing to be a Vaishnava, to be dear to the Lord." In his humility, he said, "I'm simply trying to become a Vaishnava." We call ourselves Vaishnavas, that is true, but we should understand how exalted is a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is one who is very dear to Krishna, having given up all attachments to this world and fully engaged in devotional service. So we are aspiring in that regard, aspiring devotees. So the life of Bharat Maharaj is very instructive for us. For in his life, we can understand the result of deviation from the path of devotional service. Just like Bhagavad Gita says, that a small amount of devotional service can save one from the greatest fear. Chaitanya Charitamrita says that just a loving mantra, a moment's association with a pure devotee can give one complete perfection. So also, conversely, a slight or momentary or small deviation from the path of Krishna consciousness can cause great catastrophe. You can be successful with a moment's association, and you can be a failure from a moment's inattention. So therefore, Prabhupada, he once compared Krishna consciousness to shaving. If you're very careful with that razor, you can get a very clean shave. But if you're inattentive, even for a moment, a slight amount of inattention, then you get a bloody cheek. And the men know that when you get cut with a razor, it takes a long time for that to heal. It just, you try to stop it, and then and you, again, you know, say. So just a little inattention, and you get a bloody cheek. So of course, an experienced shaver rarely gets a bloody cheek. And an advanced devotee, as on the stage of Bharat Maharaj, on the stage of Bhava, which is just prior to Prema, such a devotee rarely falls down. So the question is, how is it that Bharat Maharaj, who was so advanced in Krishna consciousness, fell so low as to become a dumb animal? So Srila Prabhupada explains this, how such an exalted devotee fell from the path of Krishna consciousness, that he willingly gave up his spiritual practices. And as a result of that, he became weak in devotional service. This is the key point. It's not that because we're immature, fall down as preeminent. No. Bharat Maharaj became weak for the simple reason that he willingly gave up his spiritual practices. We just think that when he first saw the deer, he rescued her out of compassion. One time a devotee said to Prabhupada, if we see someone get hit by a car, that's their karma. Should we go to their rescue and try to help them? If that's their karma, what can we do? Anyway, what can we do? That was their karma. So should we go and try to help them? If we see a person drowning, should we try to help them? And Prabhupada said, he answered in a very nice way. He said, yes, that is human nature, compassion. If someone's drowning, still you try to help. So Bharat Maharaj was meditating in the forest, and remember the pastime, it goes back many verses, many chapters. The deer was drinking water, and the tiger came, and so she tried to jump over the stream so as not to be attacked by the tiger. And in her fright, a miscarriage, the baby came out, baby calf, the baby fawn, the deer. So it was natural, this little deer struggling there. So Bharat Maharaj, it's not that devotees are hard-hearted, and well, they're very soft-hearted, they're very gentle. So he saw a living entity suffering, so it's their karma. So maybe it's their karma they get saved by the devotee. So he went and he rescued the deer. But then Prabhupada says, due to bad association, of course, a little fawn, it's not bad association, but still, it's cute, it's soft, it's cuddly. So, as a result of that association, he stopped attending to his spiritual practices. He stopped chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nama, Hare Nama. And as a result of that, he became materially attached. He developed mature affection, love for this mundane living entity. And then gradually, more and more, he gave up his spiritual practices and he became fallen. So that is the reason that he fell. One can fall from any stage of Krishna consciousness prior to prema bhakti. Prema bhakti is the only stage you don't fall, because at that stage there's no material desires. There's only love for Krishna. But from Shraddha to Prema, there's different desires, gross and more subtle, more subtle, more subtle, more subtle. Even after Nata Nirviti, there's this little, tiny, tiny little tinge there. And it's possible, unless one is diligent in his spiritual practices, that that material desire can become manifest and take over, just like disease. If one is healthy, when disease enters the body, it's only a tiny little germ. Not so much may happen. But if one is weak and the germ enters, then you get sick. So just like any devotee who becomes lax in his sadhan, he he becomes tempted by material desires. Every devotee has experienced that when you're strong and your practices of sadhana bhakti, your mind is less agitated. But if we become lax in our practices, the basic practices of devotional service, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, bandham, dasyam, sakyam, atman, nivedanam, if we become lax, then we find that the mind becomes agitated. Sometimes there's fall down. So in this regard, we can see that many problems, or perhaps you could trace all problems back to a devotee's chanting. Because chanting is the process for becoming Krishna conscious in this age. It's the Yuga Dharma. It's our fundamental principle. Actually, all other practices serve this one principle. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So if a devotee is having difficulty in Krishna consciousness, that would be called the, how would you say? We have to go back and see the actual, the real cause. There's the apparent cause and the distant cause. What do you say? So the apparent cause may be that the devotee got involved with this or that or something, whatever. But if you trace it back, the original cause of his weakness is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Not chanting, but improper chanting. Improper chanting. The devotee is very strong in chanting Hare Krishna, 16 rounds a day, chanting in kirtan, etc. Then it's very difficult for such a devotee to fall from the platform of Krishna consciousness. Difficult to become tempted by material desires. We may be very new on the path of devotional service. Just like children, we're in the infancy of our spiritual life. A child has to be protected because children, they catch diseases, they can fall over and bump their head, they can fall out of the crib, they can get burned by fire. Children are open to so much danger, so the mother has to constantly be watching them. And so we're like that. We're in the infancy of our spiritual life. We've just started Krishna consciousness. Adoshudha tata sadhu sangha ta bhajana kriya nartana riti siyat. That's only half. And after that comes a whole evolution of spiritual progress, spiritual advancement. So adoshudha tata sadhu sangha. We've just taken up the process, living in the association of devotees, following the process of devotion. We're like babes. In Krishna consciousness. So we're in a dangerous position. But Krishna protects us. Rakhi Krishna Mari Ke, Mari Krishna Rakhi Ke. And what is Krishna's protection? His mercy. And what is the most condensed form of his mercy? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. We're very fragile, but we're fully protected. If we want to be. We're very, very fragile at this stage of our devotional service, but we can be fully protected, just like Sita in the forest. Who could be more fragile than Sita? We hear that when Ram was exiled to the forest, then Sita wanted to go, and there was so much objection. Sita, how can you go to the forest? You're just a frail little princess. The princesses, they don't do very much work like that. They're always served, so she had no calluses on her hand. And her lotus feet were very soft and very tender. And those ladies didn't go into the sun. She was, she was a very frail lady. So there was an objection. How can Sita go to the forest? It's very dangerous there. There's so many thorns and the rocks, and the weather conditions are very severe. And there's many demons, many rakshasas. And sure enough, at one point, Ram left her to go chase the golden deer, and then Lakshman was also going to go. So Lakshman said, I'll protect you here. I'll put this mystic mantra around you with this bow. He made a circle around Sita. So then the greatest demon ever known. Thank you. No one could be more, who could be more powerful than Ravana?
Ravana had conquered Bhur, Bhuvaha, Svaha, Svargalok. He was very powerful. Demigods were afraid when he just curled his eyebrows. It's like sometimes you say, do what I say, and your eyebrows go up, they become arched. Do what I say. So when he said that, great demigods, they'd start shaking. Yes, sir, no problem. They became very... But he was so powerful, he could defeat in battle thousands of men at one time. Maharati. Maharati means with a sword, he can fight 1,000 soldiers. Finished. Bury them. Another 1,000 soldiers. Bury them. Finished. So he could fight so many Maharatis himself, 10,000 men at one time. So what was little frail Sita as a match to Ravana? This little princess in the forest. Ram, Ram, Lakshman. No weapons, nothing. Absolutely nothing. But her devotion to Ram. So, we know the story how Ravana, such a rascal, he disguised himself as a sadhu. And in that disguise form, whoa, Mataji, it's a little prasad for the sadhu in the forest. And he tried to come, and when he came close to that mystic circle, just like electric fence, any of you ever, you don't have that here, that's nice. The cows can wander freely. In other places, they have these electric fences, and the poor gomatas, the poor cows, they go up to the fence, and they go there. And I don't know, one time I touched an electric fence. I didn't know it was electric. It didn't look like a fence. It was just this green wire. So when Ravana came close, too close to Sita, he touched that mystic mantra circle. He couldn't get in. He went to the other side. He went around the other side. He was just this far from Sita, but it was as if he was a million miles away. He couldn't get in. Only when Sita, naively, stepped outside the circle, then she was caught by Ravana. So, our position is the same. We are very frail. We are infants on the path of Krishna consciousness. And Maya can attack us at any moment. Maya is very powerful. But we also have our mystic mantra of protection. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As long as we're chanting our prescribed number of rounds a day, 16, not 64, not 32, but a special concession by Srila Prabhupada, 16 rounds a day, it is sure and certain that we will be protected. We should not underestimate the potency of chanting Hare Krishna and following these regulative principles. Maya will a very difficult time attacking such a devotee. And we should know that material desires will certainly appear, just like Ravana appeared before Sita. So we should know that material desires, danger, will appear before us in the path of devotional service. Actually, material desires surface in devotional service as a result of the process of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada compared the process of Krishna consciousness, particularly chanting, to making ghee. So everyone, all the cooks know, when you to make ghee, you take butter and you put it on a low flame and you stir it, and as a result, all the impurities come to the top. It's kind of like a waxy type substance that comes to the top. And what's left underneath is the clear ghee, which you can cook things in very nicely. So Prabhupada said that's the impurities. When you put it on a low flame, then the impurities come to the top. So the fire of devotional service also purifies our heart, and from within our heart surface these material desires. We shouldn't be surprised. Oh, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, and I see within myself material desires. That's the mercy of Krishna. You can see them, and by recognizing them, you simply cast those aside. So in the beginning of it may be easy. We're chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And we can recognize, some gross desires, like lust or anger or greed. But as we progress in Krishna consciousness and other desires begin to surface, it may be more difficult to recognize them. and subsequently more difficult to cast them aside. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya, he addresses these desires, he helps us to recognize them in the Shikshastakam prayers. Actually, the Shikshastakam prayers are very wonderful. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually only left us these prayers, these Shikshastakam prayers. It was through the six Goswamis of Vrindavan that he wrote so many transcendental literatures, but personally, he just gave us the Shikshastakam prayers. So someone can say the Supreme Personality of Godhead was present. Why didn't he write so many instructions? Because volumes and volumes of transcendental literature can be written just about these Shikshastakam prayers. Just like Prabhupada said, that he put everything into his first canto. He did that because when Prabhupada came from India to the Western countries, he was elderly. He didn't know how long he had to live. It wasn't sure that he would live very long because he was elderly. And of course we know he experienced several heart attacks in the pioneer days of preaching in the Western countries. So Prabhupada said that, knowing that, he put everything into the first canto. That's why if you just studied the first and second, third volume of the first canto, you would become a perfectly self-realized soul. Of course, it's expanded upon, second canto, third canto, fourth canto, fifth canto, etc. But if it had have been that Prabhupada had passed away earlier, still this movement could have gone on. This movement could have gone on successfully, just from the first canto. Because all information is there that we need to know about the material world and that we need to know about the spiritual world in Krishna. So similarly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he left us the Shikshastakam prayers. And if we study those Shikshastakam prayers, we can see those Shikshastakam prayers deal with all stages of devotional service, from Shraddha to Prema. If we say them every morning, and tomorrow morning when you repeat them, you can reflect. This is the beginning stage of devotional service. All glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years together. Through what? Sankirtan, chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So we come in an impure stage with dust on our hearts, material desires on our hearts. So chanting is the process. How to chant? Trinada Pisa Nichana Vatara Pisa Hisanama Ninama. A humble state of mind, more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all desires. False prestige. It's like that. So if you were to go through all the prayers, you arrive at the end. I know no one except Krishna as my Lord, and he shall always remain such, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace, or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. Vipralamba seva. The highest mood of separation from Krishna. But he's always my worshipable Lord, unconditionally. So these simple eight prayers contain so much knowledge about the process of devotional service. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks about the material desires that may appear before a devotee in the process of devotional service. Nadanam madanam sundarim kavicham va jagadishta kamaye mama janmini janmini shvare bhavatad bhakti ahaitaki twai. O my Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, no desire to enjoy beautiful women. These are the gross desires that may manifest, and subtle desires as well. Neither do I have any desire to have any number of followers of mine. This is called pratishta, the desire for name, for fame, for recognition. This is a subtle desire which may appear at a later stage of devotional service. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has elaborated that this particular desire for pratishta or fame, to be recognized as a as a great devotee, as a famous devotee. This is the last obstacle on the path of Krishna consciousness. It's the most difficult to overcome. He actually says that it's easier to give up sex desire than it is to give up the desire for honor and recognition. We can see that there are transcendentalists like yogis, like jnanis, who are very advanced in tapas, austerities, tyaga, or even very advanced in knowledge. They live a lifetime of study of the Vedas, of celibacy, but still they want to be advertised as great transcendentalists. Krishna bhakta nishkama ata eva shanta bhukti mukti siddhikam akalaya shanta. Krishna bhakta nishkama ata eva shanta bhukti mukti siddhikam akalaya shanta. Krishna bhakta nishkama. Nishkama means without desire. A devotee of Krishna is without any material desires. Krishna bhakta nishkama ata eva shanta, therefore is peaceful, but bhukti mukti siddhikam akalaya shanta. The yogis and the jnanis and the gross materials, they have material desires in one form or another. Gross like the materials, or subtle like the yogis and the jnanis. Therefore, they're not peaceful in spiritual life. So this is a subtle desire that may appear later on in Krishna consciousness, and a devotee has to be as diligent as he was in the beginning to uproot such a desire and throw it to a far distance place. Because desires will come. But when they come, it's like a test for a devotee. When material desires come, actually we should think that this is a test. Krishna has the right to test us by revealing to us our material desires, because he wants to see who's serious about going back home, back to Godhead. Just like Hercules, you know the story. In Greek mythology, Hercules, he wanted to test himself. There was a particular passage in a sea, I forget what it was called, there was a particular sea, and in the sea there were two large islands, and boats had to pass through these two islands, and on these islands were very beautiful women, and they used to call out in a very melodious voice, and the sailors who were coming through that particular passage, they would hear the voices of these beautiful women. And as a result, their ship would lose its direction and crash on the rocks. So this was what these evil women were doing. Whenever the sailors would, they would call out, "Oh, my dear sailor, come enjoy with me. Come enjoy." And the sailors are, you know, like that. So Hercules, he wanted to test his ability of self-control. This was a principle in Greek culture. Nowadays it's lost. Self-discipline, controlling the senses, controlling the mind. No one thinks like this. If you have an uncontrolled mind and uncontrolled senses, you're free to enjoy as much as you want and be happy. But Vedic culture, we understand differently. Happiness comes, peacefulness comes when the senses or minds are controlled, not agitated. Then we can fix our mind on Krishna. So this was also there in the Greek culture. If a man was self-controlled, he was considered to be a virtuous personality, a great personality. So Hercules, he got on a boat, and he went through this particular passage there where all the women, "Come Hercules, come enjoy with us." "No, thank you." Actually, it wasn't so easy. They had to tie him up. But that would be the test. Prabhupada said the real test, if one is Krishna conscious, if one could be put in a room full of naked women, Prabhupada said, and one's mind would not be agitated, that would be a test that one's mind was really fixed on Krishna. I read that in Conversations. So Hercules, you know, he got on the boat, and he went through, and then they said, "Ah, la, la, Hercules. I'm not going to be tempted. I'm not going to be tempted. Hercules, tie me up." Tied him up. All right. Well, as we see, Haridas Thakur, when he was tempted by Maya Devi herself, the personification of the feminine nature, he didn't have to tie Haridas Thakur up. His mind wasn't deviated for a moment. Why? Because he had the higher taste.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
So, Haridas Thakur was tested, so we may also be tested by Maya, because she's not going to let go until she sees we're really serious about Krishna, because that's her job. Her job is to keep the conditioned souls in this material world. So she's a very good devotee. She has a thankless task, but she's a very good devotee of Krishna. But if she sees that someone wants to get free from her grips and go to Krishna, she wants to be sure that she delivers to Krishna a sincere devotee. Not that just, you know, she lets go someone who says, I want to get out of here. Okay, go to Krishna. And then one goes to Krishna and does so much nonsense. No. She wants to be sure that if she delivers someone or she allows someone to be delivered to Krishna, that that person is actually a sincere soul. Because she doesn't want someone to go there who might cause a disturbance. Just like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was having kirtan in Srivas Angam, Srivas Thakur's house. Then I think it was Srivas Thakur's aunt or something, or his grandmother. She was hiding in the pot inside the kirtan hall. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having kirtan, relishing the kirtan with all his devotees. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. There's something wrong here. Something's not pure. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. They were relishing the highest mellows of kirtan rasa, of chanting, glorifying the Lord. But there was some element of impurity there which caused a disturbance to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So everyone started looking around. What is it? So they looked in the pot and there was the, you know, the grandmother or whatever, Srivas Thakur. And because she was not a pure devotee of the Lord, she had some material aspiration somehow or other. It was a disturbance for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So similarly, if we want to go back to the spiritual world, we have to become purified of all material desire, selfish desire, so that we're not an interference in Lord Krishna's pastimes. So sometimes Krishna tests us to see, is this devotee actually sincere about the process of Krishna consciousness? And when those material desires appear, if one remains chaste to Krishna, if one remains chaste to the instructions of his spiritual master, then Krishna is very pleased. That is actually a sign of advancement. We may think that a sign of advancement is that one, you know, rolls on the ground in ecstasy, or his hair stand on end, or tears fall from his eyes, or his voice falters. That may be. But we should also see as a sign of advancement that when one is tempted by Maya, one remains faithful. One remains disciple. Disciple comes from the word disciplined. So when tempted by Maya, if a devotee remains a good disciple, obedient to the instructions of his or her spiritual master, that's a sign of advancement. That chastity is a sign of, chastity to the instructions of our spiritual master is a sign of advancement in Krishna consciousness. One time Prabhupada said, the first principle of love is obedience. So we talk about loving Krishna and one day entering into Krishna's. Our love for the Lord is expressed in our willingness to follow His instructions, in our chastity and our faithfulness to Him, just like the love of a woman is seen in her chastity to her husband. She may not even have to say anything, but if she's chaste to her husband, then the husband knows that there's real love here. So that is a sign of our progress in Krishna consciousness. And material desires will come, Maya will test us, but our true colors are shown. When she shows her face, no thank you. Why not? Because I have Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And how do we have Krishna? We have Krishna in so many ways. In particular, we have Krishna in the form of his holy name. So if we're always associating in a prescribed number of rounds every day with Krishna, we'll taste that sweetness of Krishna, we'll taste Krishna's transcendental nature. And whenever Maya appears, she'll appear very pale in significance. For one who always remains in contact with Krishna, particularly through kirtan, through chanting, then Maya may appear, but she appears very pale. She's not so attractive. So we have to expect that the tests will come sometimes, but we have to remain loyal and chaste. Our real colors will become manifest when that test comes. I was remembering the other day, to illustrate this point, there's a true story of a German spy. He was a German intelligence officer, but he was a very expert spy, and he actually worked for the British Army. He was in Germany at the beginning of the war. There's a book written about this. He learned English so well that you couldn't tell he wasn't an Englishman when he spoke English. By Jove, my friend, this is a... however they speak there. The accent was so perfect, you couldn't detect that he was German. Not only that, but the way he moved, his mannerisms, you know, he trained himself to the degree that when he walked down the street, you would think, oh, here's a perfect English gentleman. Even in his appearance and everything. So he joined the British Army, and he rose very high in the ranks. He became a British officer during the war, and he was working on very detailed, very important projects. And this went on, I think, for 2 or 3 years of the war. But the British intelligence began to detect that there must be a spy within our ranks, because so much information is getting out. There were several disasters, and they couldn't figure out, our security is so tight. How is it possible that, you know, a spy has entered into our ranks? It could only be an inside job, but it could only be a spy. So they went down their list of certain persons in this particular project. Couldn't be him. Or couldn't be this officer, who was actually the German spy. No, couldn't be him. He's a perfect British soldier. Well, it couldn't be him. It couldn't be him. And they were completely bewildered. But there was one officer. For some reason, he had a suspicion. I think that this person is actually not a British soldier, but I think he's a spy. Oh, it's not possible. You know, Sir Alfred Tennyson or something, you know. That's blasphemous. How you could say such a thing? No, but I think. So this officer was always trying to trick him into revealing himself as a German. He did all different types of things. He bought some German literature, and he put it in that person's room, thinking that maybe he would be caught reading it. Oh, you're reading that. You're German. And he even went so far as to give some glorification to Hitler. Hitler's actually not so bad. You know, he's this, he's that, he's a bit officer. What? This is madness. You're speaking like this? So, but one day, this spy showed his true colors. This other British officer, they were standing in a doorway, and the German spy, posing as a British officer, he had his hand in the doorway. So the younger officer, he took the door, whack! And that German officer, I won't repeat what he actually said, and even though German, he said some very bad words in the German language. All right, officer, come with me. So he was revealed. So when the actual test came, his real colors came out. So similarly, we can go on as devotees, but the real test is when Maya tempts us. And if we go for Maya, then that's not so advanced. But if, in that test, if we remain faithful to Krishna, when the test comes and we, instead of going, we go, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then Krishna knows we're actually faithful to him, and he rewards us accordingly. Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Shri Sivara Govardhan Dari Ki, Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare.